Would you pray with me? Holy God, may the words of my mouth, may the meditations, the thoughts of all of our hearts and minds be acceptable in your sight. For you are the one who redeems us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. One day, a father of a fairly rich family took his son on a trip to the country with the firm purpose to show him how poor people can be. They spent a day and a night on the farm of a very poor family. When they got back from their trip, the father asked his son, "How was the trip?" "Very good, Dad. Did you see how poor people can..." Father said, "Do you see how poor people can be?" "Yeah," said the son. "And what did you learn?" The son answered, "Well, I saw that we have a dog at home, and they have four. We have a pool that reaches to the middle of the garden. They have a creek that has no end. We have imported lamps in the garden. They have the stars. Our patio reaches to the front yard. They have the whole horizon." When the little boy was finished, the father was speechless. And his son added, "Thanks, Dad, for showing me how poor we are." In many ways, blessings do depend on a person's point of view. And what is a blessing for one may not feel like a blessing to another. And today we hear about the Beatitudes from Jesus' Sermon on the Plain. We call this Luke's version of it the Sermon on the Plain because it says how Jesus spoke on a level place. And we heard it from Luke. It's not the familiar Beatitudes that we think of when we think of the Beatitudes, which we generally hear and which are found in Matthew. Matthew is all about blessings. And Luke has blessings, as you heard. But then Luke also has the woes. What's with the woes? When I read it again, I stopped and thought about the woes. So often, you know, I talk about the fact that, oh, we get second chances, third chances, fourth chances, and so many chances. And then you hear these kinds of words, and you think, oh, maybe I don't get all those chances. The woes are pretty harsh. "Woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now, for you will be hungry. Woe to you who are laughing now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when all speak well of you, for that's what the ancestors did to the false prophets." How are we to hear this? Does it mean we should always be poor, never have enough to eat, never laugh, never have respect from others? Deborah Corr, a professor of English at Eastern Kentucky University and a Roman Catholic with a degree from Lexington Seminary, writes about these words of woe from Luke. In today's reading from Luke, we hear the beloved Beatitudes. Early in Jesus' ministry, the people have come to be healed. Then they hear a sermon that begins a spiritual rather than a physical healing of four areas: need, hunger, grief, and shame. And these are followed by the promise of woe to those who are now rich, well-fed, laughing, and respected. As the Oxford Study Bible points out, the warnings have been raised to an eschatological threat. It's terror level orange, as our federal government might put it. Time to be watchful and make some changes for those who feel safe for the moment. How do we read these warnings and this sharp have and have not division? And how can we best understand these statements as moral guides? Is it really that bad if I'm laughing now? What does all this mean? Well, I think it's very interesting that this reading is paired with the reading from Jeremiah, because Jesus is sounding like that old dour Jeremiah that we always think of when we think of Jeremiah the prophet. He's sounding like the prophet of doom and gloom. But then there's times that Jesus tells those without sin can cast the first stone to stone the adulterous woman. There's that time that Jesus declared the faith of a Samaritan woman after she teaches him, hey, even the dogs get the scraps from the children's table. And her daughter is healed. What's going on? Jesus is not saying that the people who are well-fed, laughing, and respected are condemned. Rather, what he is saying is that the conditions in life are temporary. Those who are well-fed now may not be down the road. Those who are well-off now may well lose it all tomorrow. Those who are laughing now will experience sorrow and sadness, perhaps tomorrow. And those who are respected, well, they may be despised tomorrow. Life changes every day around us. I was thinking of this idea as I was writing this sermon, of a wonderful family of four. You know, the perfect picture of a family of four. The mother, the father, and a daughter, and a son. Throw in the dog, too. And they get along well. They're happy. They're wonderful to each other and everything. And then there's a day that the kids go off to school. And then one of the children is shot by a gunman at school, which we know has happened. Suddenly, the life of the family is turned upside down, perhaps even for the rest of their lives. I know people here in New Jersey often say, if you don't like the weather, wait around 5 minutes. And I think the same can be said about life itself. If your life isn't great right now, just wait. It'll get better for most people, for a lot of people. There's a temporariness to life. And therefore, we should be more connected with our human brothers and sisters by making sure that all have enough. Because the time may come when we will be the ones who don't have enough, who need support. I think the easiest way to say it is that we should be a blessing to those who are poor, those who are hungry, those who are weeping, and those who are put down. And in Jeremiah, dour as he may be, he's kind of saying the same thing, folks. Listen again to his words. Thus says the Lord, cursed are those who trust in mere mortals and make mere flesh their strength, whose hearts turn away from the Lord. They shall be like a shrub in the desert and shall not see when relief comes. They shall live in the parched places of the wilderness in an uninhabitable salt land. Blessed are those who trust in the Lord, whose trust is in the Lord. They shall be like a tree planted by water, sending out its roots by the stream. It shall not fear when heat comes, and its leaves shall stay green. In the year of the drought, it's not anxious and it does not cease to bear fruit. When we trust only in ourselves, our own resources, when we isolate ourselves from others, then we're not a blessing to others, and we may well suffer for it. Whereas when we are in true community with people, then we're like the trees planted by the rivers. then we will have the support of others when we experience hardships ourselves. The passages this week are about living in community. It's important to remember that in the early Christian movement, back when it was called the Way or People of the Way, there were communities where everything was kept in common for the whole community. Nobody owned much, if anything. It was all shared. Nobody wanted. All were cared for. This reminds me of that old piece that speaks of the differences between heaven and hell. A man spoke with the Lord about heaven and hell. The Lord said, I'll show you hell. And they went into a room which had a large pot of stew in the middle. And the smell was delicious. And around the pot sat people who were famished and desperate. All were holding spoons with very long handles which reached to the pot. But because the handles of the spoons were longer than their arms, it was impossible to get the spoon into their mouth. Their suffering was terrible. Now I will show you heaven, said the Lord. They went into an identical room. The similar pot of stew. The people had the same identical spoons. But they were well-nourished, talking, and happy. At first, the man did not understand. It's simple, said the Lord. You see, they've learned to feed each other. The teaching of Jesus reminds us that we need each other. We need the various strangers we meet during our daily lives, and they need us. You think about some of the things that we're involved in. The Super Bowl. It's going to help feed people who right now don't have enough to feed themselves. Maybe one time they did, and they were doing well, but something happened. They lost a job, they got ill, whatever, and they couldn't do it. Think of family promise. People for various reasons who have lost their homes and are now in the network. We're helping them, and the time may come when they help us or help somebody else. We need each other. So we need to share what we have been given. That's what Bridges is all about as well. Sharing what we've been given so that others can have a lunch and other things. It's as simple and as difficult as that. Only when I think we look at this idea of community and see that we need to care for others so in case they need to care for us in the future. Only then we might see how poor we are, like the boy in the opening story. Only then will we see the rich spirits and the care in the lives of others. Amen.